May 18, 2005, the House Committee on Trade Economic Development will come to order. We have one agenda concerning the Commission on Asian Affairs. So I'd like to open a work session, Senate Bill 856.
Chairman, you heard this bill on the 25th of April. It modifies qualifications and terms of members of the Commission on Asian Affairs. It modifies the duties of the Commission as well. You have an amendment, the -1 amendment from Senator Brown. It authorizes legislator members, one each appointed by the House Speaker and Senate President, to be voting members of the Commission. This is a little different. Right now, legislators, one each from the House and the Senate, are non-voting ex officio members. The -1 amendment also eliminates non-legislator commission members appointed by the House Speaker and the Senate President, and the amendment also restores the requirement that all commission members be Oregon residents.
Right. With that, Ms. Suzuki, could you give us some light on this issue?
I will. Thank you. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you for giving me the opportunity to address you again on Senate Bill 856. For the record, my name is Carol Suzuki, and I've served as a member of the commission since my appointment in 2001. As I had mentioned, Senate Bill 856 brings the statutes governing the Oregon Commission on Asian Affairs into alignment with its three sister commissions, the Commission on Black Affairs, Hispanic Affairs, and the Commission for Women. The amendments to Senate Bill 856 corrects a drafting error. In this case, like the other commissions, the Speaker and the Senate President will now only appoint one member each, thereby making it so that each commission has 11 members, whereas as it was drafted, there would have been 13 members on the Commission on Asian Affairs.
All right. So
and
that's it?
That's really it.
Any questions?
Mr. Chairman, just one question.
Okay. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I take it that you are in favor of this amendment.
I am.
Thank you.
Okay. And do you know any other that the committees, such as the Commission on Hispanic and Afro-Americans and Women's, the legislators, are they also the voting member?
I believe they are. I would have to double check on that. But really, we took the language directly from the current statutes and brought the Commission on Asian Affairs statutes into alignment with the other commissions, and so they should be identical. Mm-hmm. And I'd be happy to double check that for you.
Okay. And so this is what the what you want, what the members of the Asian Commission want in this way.
Chairman, yes, that's correct.
Okay. If there is no... Yes, Representative Dalla.
One other question. I read that the amendment says that of the 11 members appointed, there is an attempt to represent all regions of the state. Has that been the case? Do we have representatives from the east as well as the west?
I don't... In terms of... I'm trying to think of our member that is furthest east. I believe when we had a full commission, we did have representatives from all five congressional districts. We're in a situation where those folks have resigned and they have not been reappointed. For example, we had, during my tenure, we've had a person from Medford, a person from Roseburg. I represent the basically Congressional District 3, I believe. And but I mean, we've tried to have geographic diversity, and with our appointments, I think what we're finding, though, the reason we've removed that requirement is that we don't have funds to reimburse people to come to the meetings because of our loss in funding. And so we're going to try to the very best of our ability to have folks appointed from different parts of the state, but basically removing that gives us more flexibility.
I feel very strongly that an accident of geography ought not to deny the eastern part of the state representation.
Absolutely.
I feel very strongly about that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, then do we have a motion to adopt this dash one amendment?
Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt the dash one amendment to Senate Bill 856.
Representative Riley moves to adopt the dash one amendment to the Senate Bill 856. Any objection to adopt it? It's adopted. All right, and we have a motion to move to the House.
Chair, I move that we send Senate Bill 856 as amended to the full floor with a due pass recommendation.
The Representative Riley moves to, how did I say?
Due pass is amended.
Yes, due pass amended. To the floor with recommendations. So any discussions? If not, then the call the roll.
Representative Bruning.
Aye.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Gallum.
Aye.
Representative Murphy.
Excuse.
Representative Nelson.
Excuse.
Representative Riley.
Aye.
Chair Lynch.
Aye. The Senate Bill 856 has passed the requirement, and this will move to the House. And is there any carrier of this bill, volunteer? Okay, Representative Riley will carry the bill to the floor. With that, I'd like to close a work session on House Senate Bill 856. And then if there's other business.
Mr. Chair, I understand that this is possibly the last bill we'll here in this committee, possibly, and I just wanted to say before we move on that I appreciated your leadership. I've really learned a lot in this committee, and I appreciate the staff, Aaron and Jim. They've done a great job, and I've enjoyed this committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman, the House Budget Subcommittee on Transportation Economic Development is going to hear the Oregon Economic and Community Development Department budget. Will that be in this room, or will it be in the budget room?
In this room here.
It'll be here.
Yes. Okay. And this is Representative Greg Smith, the proposed to meet with us, hopefully to finalize the budget of the Economic Development Department, including the International Trade Division, many others. It is Ways and Means or Budget Committee's duty to do that, but he is extending and that his proposal to us to include in making that decision in process. So that this Friday we are going to look at the number of the Economic Development Department, and it seems to me there is some differences between the Budget Committee members and also with the department. Hopefully, with a joint meeting together, we might be able to come up some consensus to make a closure. But it is up to the committee of the Lottery and Economic Development Department, the Budget Committee, to making a final decision. What we are going to discuss, and that we are going to recommend and our opinion, so we have the chance to express our opinion on the bill. So please, if you have time to study, look at the budget number, and then we might be able to come up some good the conclusion on that issue.
Mr. Chairman, we've posted the meeting for 8:30, but I understand there's going to be a floor session at 8:30, so we will post for following the floor session, so 10 or 15 minutes later, if the members would work their way up to the room 343 after the floor session, we'll do that then.
Okay.
And I will also distribute a packet of information from the governor's requested budget for the Economic Community Development Department to each of the members here later this afternoon.
Okay, is it possible also we can find out some what's the differences, that what's the differences of the opinion in the budget and a process between the budget committee and also the economic development department.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not certain that budget committee has anything written down, but I will check and see.
Please, at least we know ahead of time and what issues we need to focus on.
I will do that.
Okay.
Yes, I'm not sure that this is the appropriate venue, but we have dealt with economic development zones, E-zones, commerce zones, and I have been looking at one of the things that I think that the Community Development Department can do is with governor's approval forgive or give some advance for income tax paid by a corporation that moves in. I'd like to know about that. I don't know if that's appropriate here, but I'd like to hear about it. It seems like we're getting layers of ability to attract business, and I'm trying to make some sense of it. So if we could hear about what the governor can do at his own discretion, and I think it's through this board, I'd like just a moment to hear about that.
Okay.
Might be better at a meeting next week. We're going to talk about the budget, because I think time's going to be kind of short for anyone to want to carry over.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Since this Friday we are going to discuss some of the budget numbers, maybe you might be able to bring some issues for us to discuss at least. So I'm not sure at this point whether this Friday will be the last meeting. At least we can open our meeting as long as it's a Senate at the bills coming to our committee. And so I'm hopeful we might have one or two meetings more. We will see. I'm not saying this is the last meeting yet. So until it's the last, it's not the last. So.
Mm-hmm. That lady seems.
Okay.
Well, Mr. Chairman, you also have jurisdiction to have an information meeting on any subject that you want related to economic development, and part of the business incentives and who has authority to give those. I think the Economic Community Development Department, the counties and others would have information on that issue if you chose to take that up.
Okay, thank you. So even though hopefully this might not be the last, it has been an extraordinary privilege that I was able to work with you. You've been so cooperative and kind, and then with the differences of opinions, and we were able to come up good consensus. I believe in good consensus. And express that their thought and ideas, and with that we can make our committee, our state, even stronger and better. So I do appreciate the opportunity. You've been a very extraordinary member. It is my being a great honor to be working with you. With that, our meeting is adjourned. Thank you, Chair.